What kind of people does God want us to be? As the book of Exodus concludes, we see the Israelites learning to reflect God's character through their obedience, generosity, and excellence. The building of the tabernacle isn't just about construction. It's about becoming a people who reverence the presence of God and worship Him alone. Today, Stephen Davey challenges you to evaluate whether your life magnifies God's reputation.
A business journal listed 15 kinds of people that you ought to have in your life if you want to be successful. They include a strategist, a mentor, a coach. Now, I would personally add the guy who drives the ice cream truck, but that's just me. Well, the article does raise an important question. What kind of people do you want in your life? But let me ask a more important question. What kind of people should you be? What kind of person should I be that God wants us to become? Well, as we come to the final chapters today in our wisdom journey through the book of Exodus, we're given some insights on the kind of people God wants us to become. Now, it seems, for now at least, that the Israelites have learned their lesson after their sinful choice to build a golden calf. They experienced God's discipline and then His forgiveness. It seems that the children of Israel now are ready to build the tabernacle. Now, in describing the building of the tabernacle, a lot of details are repeated here from earlier instructions. We don't need to cover them again. But I want to highlight here how the Israelites are challenged to essentially become the right kind of people. And the first characteristic of the right kind of person is obedience to God's word. Now, Moses doesn't go out here and immediately assign hammers and saws and nails to the builders. He reminds the people that obeying God in one area of life doesn't mean they can disobey Him in another area of life. In fact, here in chapter 35 and verse 1, we read, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days' work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy, that is consecrated to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." You see here, obedience is not compartmentalized. It isn't, oh, well, you can work on the tabernacle and God will be pleased, and then you can skip the Sabbath. No, they're to be entirely obedient to God's word. I read about a couple who returned some money to a fast food restaurant that had made a mistake. They drove back after they realized they'd been handed a bag of cash through that window instead of a bag of food. Well, when the manager wanted to take their picture and give it to the local newspaper, the man sort of turned red and said, "Well, this woman here isn't my wife. If you take our picture, my wife, my real wife, might see it." And they quickly drove away. See, God is stressing here how important it is for His people to live in obedience to all of His declared will. The Sabbath was the sign of God's covenant with the nation Israel. It's how God was going to measure Israel's heart attitude toward Him. So working on the Sabbath would reveal contempt for God's word. And just because they're building the tabernacle in obedience to God doesn't mean that they can disregard another of God's commands. Now, Christians today are not bound by this unique Sabbath law. That was a unique sign between Israel and God. But the timeless truth here for us is that obedience to the Lord's will it's still a great way to measure our heart, our true love for Christ. Well, secondly, God desires His people not only to be obedient to all of His word, but to be generous in their giving. Beginning here in verse 5, Moses calls for contributions for the building project. "Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution." Now, this contribution included all the materials necessary to build the tabernacle where God himself will live with Israel. Over in verse 5 of chapter 36, Moses announces that they've exceeded their financial goal. In fact, they need to stop passing the plate, so to speak. He says here, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." Now, don't ever think that God needs your money or mine to do his work, but he does give us the joy of being a part of advancing his gospel through our generous giving. We don't have to give. We get to give. We're allowed to give. We get to invest in the Lord's work, and what a privilege that is. Now, thirdly, God desires his people to pursue excellence in their work. And the overriding emphasis in these construction details in chapter 36 and following is that the tabernacle was to be built precisely as God instructed. I mean, the workers aren't going to go out there and throw together a few bricks and some boards and some paint on this project. They weren't hoping that their work would be adequate. They wanted it to be excellent. So they're going to follow God's exact specifications. We see the pattern over here in chapter 39 as we read about the priestly garments that were made as the Lord commanded Moses. So every detail matters. Now, we might not get everything perfectly buttoned down in life. In fact, only God is perfect. But our goal is to represent him well. We're not just trying to do the least. We're trying to do our best for the reputation and glory of our Father, to whom we belong as his redeemed children. We want to represent him well. Now, fourth, God wants us to become people who reverence his holy presence. When the work on this tabernacle is finally completed, God instructs Moses here now in chapter 40 to get everything all set up. Then the Lord tells him here in verse 9, "You shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and consecrate it and all its furniture so that it may become holy." See, Aaron and his sons are anointed as well. They are essentially consecrated to serve the Lord as priests. So everything about this tabernacle, everything about the presence of God who is about to dwell among them, all of this is treated with the utmost respect. Now here in verse 34 comes the big moment. "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Can you imagine this awesome sight of nothing less than God's presence? Well, it gets even better. We're told here that God would and did graciously lead his people on their journey. Verse 36 tells us that throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out, for the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So God essentially comes now to dwell with Israel. He's going to lead them in this way with this awesome pillar of cloud. By day, we're not told how high it reached. At night, it contains fire. It becomes a pillar of fire. The nation Israel is now walking with God. Let me tell you, they are becoming the right kind of people, people who will experience genuine fellowship with God, and they're going to worship him alone in truth as they follow him. And it makes me wonder, how about us today? Are we the right kind of people who magnify the reputation of God? Well, how can we tell? Well, are we obedient to God's word? Are we generous in giving financially to his work? Are we pursuing excellence in our work and what we accomplish? And do we reverence the character and glory of God? Let's become the kind of people who can answer yes to those questions. Well, with that, our wisdom journey through this wonderful book of Exodus comes to an end. Until our journey continues next in the book of Leviticus, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. In today's lesson, Becoming the Right Kind of People, we saw how the Israelites, after experiencing God's discipline and forgiveness, learned to honor Him through their obedience and reverence. May we also be people who magnify God's name through our actions and worship Him with our lives. If you haven't seen it yet, I encourage you to install the Wisdom International app on your phone or tablet. This app allows you to take Stephen's Bible teaching with you wherever you go. You can follow along with the Wisdom Journey and Stephen's second program, Wisdom for the Heart. You'll have access to Stephen's entire teaching library. That's 4 decades of sermons and lessons, all in one place. Whether you prefer listening to a sermon or reading Stephen's manuscript, you'll find it all in this app. In addition to sermons, the app features daily devotionals, Stephen's blog, and a year-long Bible reading plan to guide your study of God's Word. It's designed to help you grow in both knowledge and application of Scripture. Be sure and check out the tab at the bottom labeled Bible. This gives you access to the full text of the Bible, but if you're driving or just want to listen along, simply press play and you'll hear the Bible being read aloud to you. One of the things that you'll appreciate about that Bible portion is the integration of Stephen's teaching with the Bible text. Our app is a wonderful tool for discipleship, and it'll help you grow closer to God and His Word. You'll find it in the App Store for your device. Join us back here next time.